All right. Guys, we have on the air right now, guys, one of the celebrities that will be in attendance at Monster Mania this weekend. We're excited. He is an 80s icon, actor extraordinaire, best known for his work on Gremlins and Gremlins 2, Zach Galligan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is so awesome. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Gremlins and Gremlins 2. Like, this, that's like one of my favorite movies. I was also terrified of the Teletubbies because I thought that they looked like gremlins. Fun fact.
I was
but
terrified.
Hello, Zach.
I was terrified of my kids because they also look like gremlins.
But really, though, my friends had the Teletubby stuffed animals, and right. I was not about that life.
Zach, it's good to have you on Below the Belt Show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. So we, as you can tell, we have some Gremlins fans in the studio that wanted to talk to you. But if you want to meet Zach in person, you can go to Monster Mania. Now, Zach, you've actually attended a few Monster Manias in the past, and including here in Maryland at Hunt Valley. You're actually going to be in Jersey this weekend, right?
Yeah, the first time I did Cherry Hill, actually the last time I did Cherry Hill, New Jersey, was 2007. So it's been 10 years, really.
Oh, wow.
I did Hunt Valley in 2011, and then I think I did it in 2015, too. So, yeah, I've done Monster Mania a few times. It's a really good show, and they always have excellent guests, and the turnout is always fantastic.
Fantastic. So we actually conveniently saw a news article that just leaked about Gremlins 3, which I thought was so perfect timing because apparently Chris Columbus has a script. And obviously it's in the pre-production stages right now. Zach, what do you know about this Gremlins 3 script and hopefully eventual movie?
Well... Actually, you could probably find that article on either my Facebook page or my Twitter feed, because basically people started sending it to me and bombarded me so much, I just decided, you know what, I'll just post it myself and kind of just put it out there. You've got to understand that when anything remotely Gremlins-related happens, I just get bombarded, and it's like my smartphone turns into Jiffy Pop popcorn and just starts.
So that's because you made one of the best. Like I can't. I'm in awe. Like, this is amazing that we're on the show with you right now. You made one of the best horror movies.
It's one of those things. Like, you're not only a client, you're also the Gremlins president.
Yeah.
But
Gremlins Club for men.
Yeah. Right. So Gremlins 3 articles have been blowing up your phone, Zach. But what do you know about the Gremlins 3 script and movie?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I would compare it kind of to the whole Gremlins 2 situation, where after the first movie came out and did really well, we had a good 4 or 5 years, really, of people saying, well, there's a script and it's going to happen, and then there's a script and it's not going to happen. And then, you know, after a while, I think people involved with it, you know, who weren't on the production and writing end, just kind of forgot about it. And things got real, real quiet. And then all of a sudden it kind of popped up and it started into production really quickly. And, I mean, people are always kind of stunned about this, but I didn't even know about Gremlins 2, much less get the offer, until about maybe three and a half months before they started shooting.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
So, I mean, that's about, you're literally talking about 12 to 15 weeks notice. That's not a lot of time. That's
not really a lot
of notice for an actor. I guess they correctly assumed that I wasn't going to be busy at the time. But they probably should not have assumed that, because you never know, especially you could get a TV series or whatever, especially nowadays. But so the similar thing has kind of happened in the last 5 years, where you kind of heard a little bit about this, a little bit about that.
Right.
And then it got real, real quiet for about 18 months. And then this popped up yesterday.
Exactly.
And I think it was yesterday. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. If you read the article, and you probably should read some excerpts for some of the people who are at home, But when Chris Columbus, to me, since I kind of know him, I mean, I don't know him that well. I knew him pretty well back when he was around 25. But, you know, it's 30 years later, way more than that. So I'm sure he's probably a very different person. But the way he's talking about it in the article, he kind of talks about the project like he's the captain of the ship. So and I have no knowledge, but I know enough directors to know that it kind of sounds like he wants to direct it. You know, I mean, that's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's like, yeah, script's done. It's great. Movie's going to be great. It's going to be terrific. Blah, 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 blah. There's no mention of a director. You know why there's no mention of a director?
Because he wants to do it, right? So Chris Columbus said he wanted to go back to the really twisted sensibility of the first movie, which is what made the original 1984 film that you were a part of so much fun. And he also said that there would be minimal CGI. Now, in the world of modern filmmaking, all the sci-fi genre type of films have incorporated CGI. What would your thoughts be on a new Gremlins movie? Should they stick to the old tried and true puppets, or should they go the CGI route?
Well, I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I kind of greatly prefer the first movie to the second movie. I don't dislike the second movie. I just think it's kind of like it's a very much a Joe Dante movie in that it has a very cartoonish quality to it.
Right.
I'm not really the hugest fan of like cartoon oriented stuff. I kind of, you know, if I had a choice between making, you know, Gremlins 2 and having it be like a cartoon, or making Gremlins 2 and having it be like Aliens, I'm going to pick like a gritty action sequel over a cartoony sequel any day. That's just my, you know, personal feeling.
Okay.
Right. So, my guess is that Chris Columbus, you know, is going to use a lot of puppets, but like he explains in the article, mm-hmm. now you can use CGI very gently on certain things, like you use puppets, and instead of, you know, if there are any cables, you can just use CGI to erase the cables.
Yep.
That makes it so much easier. Mm-hmm. Because what we would do is we'd have a perfect shot that we loved, and people would look at the playback and they'd be like, there's a cable in it, we can't use it. It was mm-hmm. so frustrating. Now you would just say, oh, well, who cares? We'll get rid of the cable and it's perfect.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point because, as you know, J.J. Abrams, when he released Star Wars The Force Awakens, made it a point to go back to the tactile puppeteers, sets. Instead of a lot of CGI. Although he had both elements, I think this is the same thing with Chris Columbus and Gremlins 3. It's going to be a mix of both. Because sometimes, you know, there's some realism in puppetry that you can't really see in CG. And I think that's the case with the Gremlins and the Mogwais, which hopefully we'll see that showcased in the Gremlins 3. I'm really excited about it. This is really huge news, and what great timing.
Yeah, this is pretty awesome. I can't wait to see the new movie.
So, obviously, Zach...
Wait a second. I have to say one thing. Look at you busting out the tactile word on the radio program. Liked it.
Thank you. Well, I do have a master's degree, so...
That definitely helped.
So Zach, obviously,
I've mastered Ebonics, if that helps. Like, I'm sorry.
So Zach, if they offered you a role, I guess there would be no hesitation for you to come on board.
Well, why on earth would I hesitate?
Nice.
You know what I mean? I mean, let's just be real. I mean, when they asked Mark Hamill to be in Star Wars, do you think he said, yeah, I don't feel like it? Or do you think he said, oh, my God, this is a money bonanza?
Yes, I like that answer.
Do you keep in touch with any of the actors from the, from Gremlins and Gremlins 2?
Even Phoebe Cates, for that matter?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
You like
Phoebe Cates is just a babe. I just think she's adorable. But do you keep in touch with any of the actors?
It sounds to me like you think she's a little bit more than adorable, to be honest.
Right. I was going to let her keep going with it. You should see her face, too. Like, and this is, mind you, this is coming from the female in the room. And she's, Right. Her nipples are like hard.
So, alrighty. Yeah. Do you keep in touch with any of the actors that you filmed with, that you work with?
Well, I mean, I see Corey Feldman a lot.
Yes.
He does conventions, and actually, I don't know if you guys know this, but I live in Atlanta now.
Mm-hmm.
I was a native New Yorker, but I live in Atlanta now. Nice. And so he actually just played Atlanta with his band, The Angels.
Yeah, I saw the show here, actually, in Baltimore.
He was in Baltimore, not too long ago. Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to check it out?
Did I get a chance to check it out? I went and I introduced the band.
It was nice!
Awesome!
How cool is
that?
Yeah,
I had to... I've never introduced a band, and I always wanted to. And he said, you can do anything you want. And I said, okay. And so I grew up as a young kid. I was obsessed with Kiss and the album Kiss 5. So when I introduced them, I was like, you're one of the best, and you got it. The hottest band in the land, Corey Feldman and the Angels.
Yes.
That's awesome.
It was like a dream come true, right?
Yeah, I got to admit, Corey Feldman did a great job, man. I know he got a lot of criticism for his Today Show performance, but for this actual performance with the Angels being incredible musicians, as well as Corey being an incredible talent as well, they put on a great show.
I think a lot of people were really, really stunned at how good musicianship was, because the girls are actually really... I mean, here's the thing. The people that were on the TV show, the morning show, whatever that was, the Today Show, they were just there to kind of look nice. And then when he went out there on the tour, he really auditioned for a very, very long time, really qualified musicians and guitar players and stuff like that, and the lead guitar girl in his band is ridiculous.
Yes. Fantastic.
I love hearing about chick musicians.
She's really good. She can shred.
Chicks on the guitar.
Yeah.
And there's chicks on the electric. Yeah.
She really did a phenomenal job, yeah. So you probably partied with Corey at Feld Mansion once or twice, huh?
I feel like the memories already.
What's that?
Yeah, I gotta say, I kind of stayed away from the Feld Mansion.
It probably was a good idea, sir. That's probably why you don't have a current record. Good job.
So you know what's interesting? That the day that the news broke about Gremlins 3, the same news dropped about License to Drive, which is pretty amazing. And besides Gremlins 3, because obviously that's going to happen, is there any other of your past projects, Zach, that you think would make a good sequel or reboot today? Because you've done so much other work in the past.
People are always asking for like a Waxwork 3 or a Waxwork reboot or something like that. And you know what? They kind of, if you see a Cabin in the Woods, it's kind of a little Waxworky in general.
It is. I think it was like that on purpose, too.
Waxwork is one that that would be pretty rad. Any others that come to mind, Zach, that you think would make a good reboot?
Let's see.
Ones that's paying a lot of money, right?
I did an episode of Tales from the Crypt, and I always think that's something that they can always reboot. I'd love to see it.
I would love to see them reboot a Tales from the Crypt.
A big budget Tales from the Crypt with really good actors.
Nice. That would be awesome.
That would be cool.
That's a good pick. High five over the phone.
But I'm kind of a harder guy, you know. So
So you actually have been working on a lot of independent horror films. I'm looking at your IMDb. If you could talk about some of those cool projects you have coming up, Zach.
Well, it's kind of bittersweet. I got a chance to work with Rowdy Roddy Piper on his very, very last movie. And I'm going to tell you something. That guy, it's weird because, you know, when you don't start as an actor and you're someone who's like a wrestler or a rapper or a singer or something like that, a lot of people think, a lot of people just aren't really going to give you the benefit of the doubt and won't ever really kind of accept you as being, you know, an excellent actor. There are exceptions, but it's generally kind of tough sledding for people who start out as something else. So he started out as a wrestler.
Yep.
As everybody knows.
We're big fans of Rowdy Roddy Piper, of course.
Sure. And, you know, what's interesting is whenever he did those, live promos for like 30 years on live television.
Improv.
His improv skills are as good as any person I have ever worked with in my life. And the director knew that, and he very wisely, we did this movie called The Chair with Naomi Grossman.
Ah,
and,
there it is, The Chair. Naomi Grossman, I just saw her in L.A. at Scare L.A. convention. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, she's great. And so he, you know, it was kind of amazing because the director would say, you know what? I know it's scripted a certain way. Just make sure that this fact is in it so that the scene makes sense and that the story makes sense. But you really should kind of feel free to just kind of make it your own. Well, you know, we would do some group scenes with some of the other prison guards because it all takes place in a prison. And some people were comfortable doing improv, and some other people were like, what? Like, all the cues disappeared, and right. No one knew when to say what, when, and stuff. So there's a little adjustment period. But he was really, really a phenomenal actor. And I hope, you know, he gets a little bit of that due because, you know, I think a lot of people are just like, he's the wrestler guy or he's like the guy and They Live and that's it. But he was really quite a talented guy.
He's had quite a big resume.
I thought you saw his talent in They Live, though. Like, he was really, like, I think I was shocked. Really seeing They Live and saw how well he did. So I think that was one of those things that cemented him as an actor, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, if you go to his IMDb, which you're probably at, if you pull it up, he's got something like, well, he, you know, unfortunately passed away, but he had something like 120-something credits.
Yeah, absolutely. He was
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was living in Los Angeles, too, for, unfortunately, his final years, but that's unfortunate. But rest in peace, Roddy. You know, certainly sad.
So here's the thing, very quickly, because I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time.
We're enjoying you, buddy.
Hold on.
You're an icon to us, okay?
So yeah, when you want to go, that's
right.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Zach.
What is this icon that you speak of?
I'm just sitting here rubbing your picture, that's all.
Gremlins is an iconic movie, son, and you're the star.
Hold on a second. Call me an icon one more time. Go ahead.
we're sitting here talking to this icon, you know,
one of the best icons of the early 90s movies.
Was that good? Did you
feel good about that?
Did you not yet? Hold on.
Do we need to bump it up to another level?
Okay, my bad. Okay.
Your Grace.
Your Majesty.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Me? Icon? Nuh-uh.
Yes! Your icon royalty!
Anyway, just being ridiculous here.
I love it.
Radio. I always love radio. You guys, are you radio or internet?
We're podcast, yeah.
You're podcast, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're live and podcast, so. We're actually on live right now, so. But really quick.
Oh, really? People can listen to this live?
Yeah. Yep. On BelowTheBeltShow.com. So, Camp Out, I'm looking here. You played Detective Benson with Clint Howard, actor extraordinaire. Tell us a little bit about that project.
Well, Camp Out is a terrible title, and they realized it was a terrible title. So now it has a much, much better one. Are you ready for what it is?
Okay. Yes.
Camp In.
American Bigfoot.
American Bigfoot. There you go. Well, I think it makes sense. If Bigfoot is in the movie, then that should be in the title. So that makes sense.
Here's the thing. I did, if you look at my IMDb, in about 2004, but you know how it is with indie horror movies, it didn't get released for, I think, something like 5 or 6 years.
Oh, man, I hate when that happens. When you do any movie and it doesn't get released.
I did a movie called Night Beast, which is a Bigfoot movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know what? once is not enough. I just had to do another Bigfoot movie.
Nice.
And I did American Bigfoot, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Right, because you felt like it was only right to bring two icons together. Bigfoot and Zach.
I just felt that Bigfoot's tale hadn't really been told expressly enough, and it needed to be fleshed out a little bit more, so just adding to the legend.
Absolutely.
Speaking of icons, there's a project on your IMDb that I got to talk about that has so many icons. It's amazing. It's called Madness in the Method. It's directed by one of my favorites, Jason Mewes. Stars yourself. It stars Kevin Smith, Terry Hatcher, Judd Nelson, Danny Trejo,
damn,
Vinnie Jones, and even Stan Lee.
Damn. All right, let's talk about it.
And super sexy MMA chick, Gina Carano.
And Gina Carano. Let's not forget Gina. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here's the thing. I love this movie, and it's one of those movies where Jason Mewes it's his directorial debut.
Good.
And it's a very funny movie. It's kind of an LA Hollywood movie, but I think it'll be accessible to a lot of people. It's basically about typecasting, and it's about how Jason Mewes plays himself and how all he can do is play slacker roles.
Right, and stars,
and all he can get cast as is slacker roles. And then he kind of accidentally murders someone and suddenly starts getting all of these killer roles.
Boy, do I know about typecasting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Room full of ethnic people.
But that makes... That's actually a pretty good theme to the film. And in fact, you're playing Kevin Smith's lawyer. So you're an attorney in this film representing Kevin Smith. So I guess Kevin Smith... has a lawsuit. That's my guess, but
let me just say this. If you look, I'm actually playing three parts. I'm playing a director. I'm playing myself, and I'm playing Kevin Smith's lawyer. And so we decided. I'm friends with Dominic Burns, who's the writer and the producer, and so he introduced me to Jay, who I'd met a few times at conventions, just like Monster Mania. And so we were on walk down the hall, hey, bro, what's up? Oh, hey, dude, how are you? Terms, you know? Mm. So they asked me to come and shoot some scenes, and we started bouncing around ideas and things like that. And I just ended up playing three different characters, kind of channeling my inner Peter Sellers and playing multiple parts. And actually, the fact that I was... kind of lusting for more screen time actually becomes kind of a running joke in the movie. But I don't think
I love this. Kind of in American Horror Story fashion with the multiple characters, same actors, right?
Uh-huh.
Something along those lines. Yeah, okay, I got it. Wow, this is really cool. Well, this comes out next year in 2018, so, oh man, we're really looking forward to that, Zach. So,
The trailer for that is amazing. It just hasn't been released yet. They showed it at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, nice.
And it just kind of exploded. And now they're just kind of tweaking it a little bit. And my guess is the first teaser trailer for this will be out probably like by Labor Day weekend.
Okay. Wow. Awesome. I'm so looking forward to that.
That does sound cool.
That, you got, that wow, awesome. Zach, I mean, you got this. You got Gremlins 3, hopefully, which I'm sure you'll be working on. So some great things coming up. And, of course, Monster Mania. And, of course, you are known as the icon for everybody watching Gremlins. I mean, it's a timeless movie,
absolutely.
Zach. It really is timeless.
Let me ask you a question, Zach. So when you first saw this script, okay?
For the first Gremlins?
For the first Gremlins, what was your honest opinion?
Well, here's something that most people don't know. When I got the part in Gremlins, I'd only read three pages of the script, the scene where I ask Phoebe out. It is. The scene where we're walking along and she talks about how nobody likes, cause a lot of people commit suicide around Christmas, and then I ask her out on a date.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that was all I read. So I got the part, And then they said, do you want to do the movie? And I was like, sure, let's read the script. And they're like, no, you have to sign to do the movie.
Wow.
That's a first.
That's hilarious.
Usually they have the actor read the whole script, but that's pretty interesting.
So is it like they thought you were going to back out because of the script?
No, I think what it was that Spielberg is kind of a master of keeping things under wraps.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The non-disclosure thing.
Yeah, and he knew that you could not have scripts floating around. And so when I got my first script, every single page had Zach Galligan stamped on it in a watermark. So if anybody got it, I was hosed.
As actors here in studio, we know. We've seen our names on audition pages before. We know how that is. Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
So what did you now you got the part and you got the script. What did you think?
Well, the funny thing about it was that I was down in Florida because I'm 19 years old, and so it was the last thing I did before I went away on spring break. Remember when everyone went down to Florida for spring break?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I literally went from the audition with me and Phoebe to Newark Airport down to Fort Lauderdale to party with my friends. And I got the part the next day or the same day. I can't really remember. I just know that as soon as I got down there, I'd turn around and come back. But what I had to do was they sent the script to my, because since I was in Florida, they sent the script to my mother. She read it for me. And this is really kind of funny because I'm going to imitate my mom. I said, so mom, did you read the script? Is it any good? She goes, well, they certainly have you do a lot of very interesting things. You blew up a movie theater, and you smash windows, and it's very, very exciting.
I love it. I love it. Are we talking rock star status when this movie gets dropped, Zach? Like women knocking at your door, that kind of thing?
I mean, here's what you're talking, and until it happens to a person, you're never prepared for it.
Uh-huh.
But I would say within 2 to 2.5 weeks, so we're talking less than 20 days after the movie was released, I would be in Manhattan. I'm born and raised in Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
and I would go into... I would walk into just about any restaurant, and the entire restaurant would stop, turn around, stare at me for about 2.2 seconds, kind of nod to themselves, turn back to each other, and go back to their business. It was very, very weird. I found it very, very strange going from a completely anonymous person to feeling like everybody's staring at you in the street. Very, very bizarre.
Wow.
Just that's pretty much the same feeling a lot of celebrities have. And it's kind of interesting to hear that from you as well.
Or when I go streaking, I get that.
Oh, when you get streaking.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say? I mean, the nice thing about it is that I probably got to experience, let's say, 18 months of real, real insane kind of recognition like that. And then it kind of has petered down to a much more manageable level where, mm-hmm. It's weird because even down here in Atlanta, I'll be in a Walmart or something and people will be like, I'll just be shopping for olives or something like that. And some woman will tap me on the shoulder and they'll be like, we watch you every Christmas. And I'm like, thank you very much. Very nice, man.
Yes, it's a great family movie.
That's cool.
So it's cool. And, one day I'll write a book and I'll talk about, the female attention that you get.
Oh, okay. Not here on Below the Belt Show. You'll save that for the book. I got it. All right. Well, awesome, Zach. It was so awesome to talk to you. Of course, Zach, along with many stars like Kate Beckinsale, Val Kilmer, Peter Weller, Daphne Zuniga, Jennifer Carpenter, Chris Kattan, Pollyanna McIntosh, Seth Gilliam, C. Thomas Howell, another 80s icon there, Zach, and another 80s icon in Jonathan K. Kwan from Goonies.
Yeah.
So... lots of great names attached to this Monster Mania convention happening this weekend. You're going to be there all 3 days?
All 3 days. And C-Town Towel, such a sweet guy. He's a great guy.
That's awesome. Wow. Well, we look forward to talking to you in person as well. Zach, if you could, before we let you go, let us know who you are throughout the Gremlins or some of your bigger projects. You're listening to Below the Belt Show. At the end, you got a Goonies catchphrase in you?
Goonies.
Gremlins.
I'm sorry. No, I was just talking about Data, and I got
my... Zach, he didn't mean it.
I'm sorry, my brain got
switched. We will behead him right at the end of the show, Zach.
We shall behead him.
I mean...
Well, there goes the interview at Monster Mania itself. It's just done. It's a wrap.
A Gremlins catchphrase.
Can't do it with the Goonies mistake now.
I'm going to cry.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding because, you know, Chris Columbus wrote both of them, and they both start with G, so it happens all the time.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Good save for him, Zach. But here's the thing. Thanks for saving him.
We're still going to behead him.
Oh,
good. I'm glad we're in agreement. Yay. High five.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Zach, if you could throw the promo, that would be awesome.
Hi, this is Zach Galligan from Gremlins, and you are listening to Below the Belt.
Awesome. Can you do that one more time? Because I think there's an audio thing. And then throw out the catchphrase at the end. Whatever catchphrase you want.
Wait, what do you mean? You mean my catchphrase?
Any catchphrase from Gremlins, a life catchphrase, a Monster Mania plug. But just add a little more at the end.
Okay. Hey, this is Zach Galligan from Gremlins, and you're listening to Below the Belt. And... don't feed them after midnight, people.
Do not feed them after midnight.
Awesome. Thank you so much. The icon, Zach.
You were a blast. Thank you for being on the show.
Sure, no problem.
All right, have a good night.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
That was awesome, dude.